What's going on, Clipper Nation? It's me, William, the Opinion Update.
And I am doing my best to stay positive, Chuck Mockler.
We are Locked On Clippers. Part of the Locked On NBA Network. We're coming at you 5 days a week with all the freshest of the Clippers news. And we got some fresh ones for you today. We're going to kick things off with a recap of that 109-100, too close for comfort win over the Warriors.
Yeah, that was a good time.
A dub's a dub.
It is.
Dub's a dub.
Sometimes they're fat, sometimes they're skinny, but a dub is a dub.
And then we're going to be recapping that 104-114 loss to the Nuggets. We actually just wrapped that one up.
Whole lot to unpack. Kind of, also not. I don't know. It was a tough watch.
It was.
Overall.
It was a little, it was maddening, but it wasn't as discouraging as some losses that we've had recently.
Fair.
And then we're going to be wrapping things up every single Monday. We do the freshies. It's kind of a, it's a fresh guy report. So we'll be talking
new
about
new players. Yeah, whatever.
New players, possible trade season talks, you know.
Twitter's a buzz right now with some trade rumors.
As always.
Yeah.
So all that and more coming up right about now.
Yeah. So on Friday night, the Clippers got the dub at the downtown LAC night with the win over the Warriors.
Yep.
Fun time, you know, in the fourth quarter and third quarter mostly.
Good game.
Good game. This one did not go as we had hoped. The Kawhi takeover was in full effect.
Yeah.
This is possibly one of Kawhi's best games of the season, statistically.
Yeah, I mean.
It is.
Yeah. 36, 9, and 5, 3 steals, a block. I don't know what you want.
He took over. It sucked that we needed it in this game.
Uh-huh.
There were some things that happened in this game that also happened in the game against the Nuggets in terms of effort, in terms of kind of locking in.
Totally.
But let's talk about what we liked first.
Yeah.
First thing was at Kawhi. In the third quarter, we really needed it. He went 4 of 5 in the third and then 4 of 6 in the fourth.
Shot 56% from the floor overall. Was great. It wasn't really there from 3, which did continue into the Nuggets game. But, hey, that's another problem for another time.
Which was today. But anyway. This was a superstar game. We did like a little tiny recap of the game. Also, I think Friday and Saturday games, we're going to start doing like these kind of little recap streams. Let us know if you liked it on Twitter.
Was that the most impressed you've been with Kawhi's performance coming out of like the playoffs from last season, or does anything
else
for
the Clippers, at least in a while?
Yeah.
And like, it was nice to, like, this doesn't to say that he's played, I don't think he's played well or anything over this period of time. Like, he's played great, but this was like a nice.
Kawhi Leonard has not played well, according to Charles.
I literally just said that's not what I'm saying. But this was a clear superstar game.
Yeah.
It was really cool to see. But, you know, like I said, wish it wasn't against the Warriors. Patrick Beverley had a near triple-double. He had 12, 11, and 9 plus 3 blocks.
Yeah.
So we needed every ounce of our, you know, lightning rods this game pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, like, and credit given to the Warriors. Like, they came out and they wanted this win.
So they played hard, but they weren't even playing well.
Yes.
Patrick Laurie, who, friend of the show, was texting me. He was like, dude, the thing that sucks is that, like, the Warriors aren't even necessarily playing that well.
I mean, they, like, they shot 28% from 3. And if they had even shot, you know,
32% from 3.
30, yeah. they would have probably crushed us in this game.
Yeah. It was kind of like the Knicks game with the free throws that they left on the board.
Yeah.
But we're talking about things we like right now. Mo, 4 of 5 for 9 points, and he had 4 boards. We kind of talked about in the pregame that we needed that, and he was huge. Lou and Trez in the second half. This can kind of breach into what we didn't like.
Yeah.
It took a while for the offense to get going in this game.
Definitely.
The first half, you know, we won the first quarter 20-22. We lost the second quarter 33-26. We needed a 10-point comeback in the fourth quarter to beat this Warriors team.
Yeah.
We were down 10 going into the fourth. They had a, 16-point lead at one point? They had a 10-point lead at one point going into the fourth. That was kind of when the offense kicked in, was like that middle of the third quarter.
Definitely. So do we want to get in? Do you have anything else for what we did like, or do we want to breach into what we didn't like in this?
So let's do with what we did like with Lou and Trez real quick, because they were 8 of 15 in the second half, which was fantastic. They were 3 of 6 in the first. So like Trez had 2 points for like the longest amount of time I think this whole season he's only had 2 points. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Lou ended up with 21. Trez only ended with 11. But
yeah, he did add 10 boards, though. And
he added 10 boards. He was contributing in different ways.
And 3 assists, which, like, for a regular big man, like, I mean, that's a solid amount.
Yeah, for sure.
So let's get into a little bit. Let's start getting into what we didn't like in this one.
Yeah.
I'm just surprised how this offense, like, with this starting unit, can look so discombobulated. Yes, I understand Paul George was out. But, like, this is a lineup that's had a lot of continuity, and I feel like you should be able to slot in either someone different at the 2 or the 4, and around that core of, you know, with Kawhi, Bev, Harkless, and Zoo, or at least Kawhi, Bev, and Zoo, there should be enough continuity to put together a fully competent offense for 4 quarters of basketball.
Yeah, we didn't mention this up top, but Shamet started in this game.
Yes.
So the starting lineup was Bev, Sham, Kawhi, Mo, Zoo.
And
Sham did not play very well.
And it shows, and we'll talk about this. I mean, not it shows, but like he did not get the start in the game in Denver.
Yeah. And he has a pretty short leash right now. Doc kind of talked about kind of forcing roles on guys in this really great piece, this really great Andrew Greif article. And I think Shamet's one of those guys. We kind of force that point guard role on him. He can't be that.
He can't do it.
He just can't do it. We shot 28% from 3. So, like, this was a bad game of basketball on both ends.
Yeah.
Jamichael was 0 of 5. Kawhi was 2 of 7. It wasn't there, and we really won this game because we had Kawhi Leonard and Patrick Beverley.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, this was... No one really for the Warriors even went off on us.
It was people we didn't expect. I mean, Glenn Robinson had a pretty solid game. Alec Burks, did talk about in the pregame preview.
Yeah, that one I was like, oh, great. I'm glad I got this dumbass one right. But he went 1 of 7 from 3. Like, they had 1, 2, 3, 4... 5 guys in double figures, which for a team that's only won 9 games or whatever. Yeah, this just... How were we... I guess this is as good as time to get into it. How were we feeling after this game?
I have a low-grade cold. It's like just low grade on this one. Like I mean, like,
you're still going to work, but you're coughing.
I'm still going to work. I'm maybe milking the cold at this point, to be perfectly honest. But I'm not feeling bad.
I'm just feeling...
It's a little puzzling.
Is exhausted the right word? And I don't mean exhausted in terms of an angry way, but in terms of this, I've seen it a bunch on Twitter, and I can identify with the frustrations when fans are talking about the continuity. Because, like, dude, I'm just so tired of having to run out these lineups that don't have PG and Kawhi. And I'm not saying that as like a blame thing. I'm not saying that as anything like that. I'm just so goddamn frustrated with the performance we saw where they really kicked it in late when they had to.
Yeah.
And we won the game against the Warriors like that. But as we're going to talk about in the next segment, we lost the game against the Nuggets when we had to do that.
It does feel like it's not the best habit setting, or like...
It's just like, goddamn. Like, can we... Let's pretend the... first is the fourth or something like that, or like...
But, you know, that was a problem last year with the core of this team, even. Like,
it was. But and the frustration, I guess the exhaustion that I'm talking about comes from, like, if guys keep being hurt, it's like, are we... That's just gonna keep getting exacerbated.
Yeah.
It's like he's picking up, and like it's just like so. It's frustrating, and it's hard to not nitpick some stuff.
Yeah, and this was one. You know, we saw a couple. We saw a hard fall from Landry. We saw a hard fall from Jamichael.
Landry went down and was limping. I was really surprised he came back in, but he seemed fine. He played, you know, in the Denver game. Jamichael was questionable after this Warriors game with that fall he took.
Yeah, which we'll get into. We could have used some more Jamichael, but we'll get into that in the next one. Any last thoughts on this Friday night matchup against the Warriors?
We noticed we were talking with some fantastic professionals, Sabrina Merchant and
Joe Morgan.
And we were kind of talking, there could be, I don't know, just maybe keep an eye out there for some on-court chatter between players.
Yeah.
It seems like I'm just saying, like, as much as we're frustrated about some stuff,
it's definitely translating. Yeah.
take that as you will.
For sure. I did like the quote that Kawhi said, like, it's you're like constantly building until the playoffs where you run out of time.
We're building right now. And it feels like we're at that. It feels like we've hired some contractors where it's like you keep saying the stuff is going to happen and I'm really looking forward to it. But you keep like pieces are missing. Like,
yeah.
Oof.
Drunks. You hired drunk contractors.
That's how the team kind of feels like drunk contractors right now. We got the dough, which was the important thing. Coming up after this, we're going to recap the game in which we did not get the dub against the Nuggets. We got some questions about some rotations there. But first,
to get fit in 2020, you don't have to join a gym or pay a ton for overpriced fitness equipment.
I hate that. I would say 85% of my expendable income goes towards specifically overpriced workout equipment.
I've seen it. You have like multiple row machines.
Yeah. They all do a different job.
The best way to get in the best shape of your life is with Echelon.
Hey.
Go to echelonfit.com to discover their EX1 connected fitness bikes that offer a high quality at home cycling experience at less than half the price of a Peloton.
Damn, son, where'd you find this X1 connected fitness bike?
The Peloton is also the worst IPO of 2019-2020.
Yeah, man, if you invested in that, sorry about
Anyways,
that.
You should invest in Echelon because they make beautifully engineered products for everyone, busy moms and dads, first responders, and elite athletes, whatever your activity level. And with daily live and on-demand studio classes right in your home, you'll never have to step foot in a gym. You'll love Echelon. If you aren't 100% satisfied, they'll give you your money back. Join the hundreds of thousands of men and women who are getting fit with Echelon.
And first responders
and elite athletes. Go to echelonfit.com/LONBA to learn about limited time, free Apple iPad, and complete details of this exclusive offer. Echelon, it's your time. That's Echelon, echelonfit.com/LONBA. echelonfit.com/LONBA.
Okay, now that we're all on our Echelon bikes, pedaling towards that big mountain in the sky, we're going to recap the Clippers 104-114 loss against the Nuggets.
All right.
This one
hurt.
Paul George was out for the Clippers. Paul Millsap was out for the Nuggets. This game started great.
Lou got the start in this one, too, which is worth noting.
Lou and Patterson both got the start. So we had Bev, Lou, Kawhi, Patterson, Zoo. This game started out great. First quarter, we were up one.
Mm-hmm.
Things were kind of like humming along-ish, you know? We weren't lighting it up, but things were fine.
Yeah.
It seemed.
Yeah. Very frustrating second quarter. We got outscored by 15 points, and Denver really maintained that lead until, I believe, we were probably 7 minutes into the fourth quarter when
we were down
back into striking distance.
Moment. With what was it? Something like 2:40 left. We were down 8, which was definitely doable. But then there's some questionable calls. Doc got unfairly tossed, I will say.
Yeah.
Bev fouled out.
We'll get into all that and what we didn't like.
Yeah.
Let's just kick
a goofy game.
Let's kick things off on a good foot of what we did like. Kawhi, once again, 30 points, remarkably efficient.
Except for from three. From three, he was horribly inefficient.
Yeah, as we said in the last segment.
Was it 1 of 7?
He shot
2 of 7.
Which is the exact same mark that he shot against Golden State here.
Which is a better percentage than the team shot overall.
Yeah.
Which we'll get into what we did like. Sorry, I'm on a negative kick after this game. That's on me.
But yeah, it's not really happening for three from him right now.
It's not. It's really not. It's not happening. Yeah.
Honestly, though,
we missed Paul George in this one.
We definitely missed Paul George. I guess I would like to see if those shots aren't falling. It's a toss-up, but I would like to see him getting to the line more, like being a little bit more aggressive there.
We didn't have a free throw for the first, I think, 7 or 8 minutes of the third quarter. We were not getting to the line effectively. I talked about, I was tweeting about it on Twitter, that Lou getting to the line when Kawhi was off the floor was how we were probably going to win bench points.
Uh-huh.
We didn't win bench points. and we couldn't get to the line.
Well, Lou started, so we weren't going to win bench points.
Well, yeah, for sure. But I guess just like, because they were staggering. Like, Lou, you know, they had to keep kind of one of them out
No, there. And Denver, to their credit, also does have a very, very good bench.
But our bench also, anyway, I'm getting too negative again. We'll get into what we didn't like. Bev's 3-point shooting was great.
Yeah.
3 of 4 from three. Whole team combined for 24%, so he made that look a lot better.
Way to go. The turnovers in this one, so we kept them, we only had 14 turnovers, which is a significant improvement.
Oof, still kind of a lot, but.
We had 19 against Golden State, but I'm not mad at 14 turnovers. I think that this team, for what we are and like the way we play and the way the assists are distributed and some infamiliarities. I think any time we have like less than 15 turnovers, but we win rebounding, like I think we should be winning that game.
We only lost boards by what, 2 in this game?
Yeah,
42.
Which we'll talk a little bit because that was like an effort thing that we didn't like.
Yeah.
But I was happy that even with Paul George out, we did keep the turnovers somewhat low.
For sure. Zubats in the beginning.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about this and what we didn't like. Well, part of it's right now.
No, just talk about what we did like.
He challenged Jokic early.
Yeah.
He had early dunks. He protected the paint. I mean, things really kind of turned. He was fantastic on the inside. Nuggets were 1 of 6 at one point, and then when he went out, it got a little different, which we'll talk about later. But he was 3 for 3. He had 3 fouls, so kind of the fouls, I think, did him in 2.
Yep.
He only logged 17 minutes, which was a big deal, but Zubats in the beginning was very good.
Yeah, there was also, and this is going to tie into what we didn't like, but there was like a beautiful sequence in the fourth quarter where we had 2 steals and a block shot. Jamichael got a tip-in dunk on a rebound off of a free throw.
Yep.
It took a little while for the resolve to kick in.
Again.
But.
Another trend.
I will say that, you know, like, despite not being able to finish this one out, like, it looked really promising in that, you know, too little too late stretch.
For sure.
Which will bring us into what we didn't like in this one.
You were saying before we recorded that we should have won this game.
This was a game that I had picked us to lose in our pregame preview, but watching it, this was a winnable game. Like we had this one.
I don't know if I agree wholeheartedly. Like when we were down, you know, in the run in the fourth, I was like, yeah, we can win this game.
We cut it to 6 or 5. We cut it to 5 or 6 there, and like it was, we had this game.
But also. We didn't deserve to win this game. It was one of those things.
I can see. No, I can definitely see that. But this to me would have been like,
let's get out of here. Like, whoa, we got right there. We got to go. Like, this is the like stealing something from Walmart thing. And you just got to get out of there.
This would have been a statement champ win to me. Where it would have been like,
what does that make it for a loss then? You know what I mean?
For a loss, it's the resolve was there, just too little, too late.
For sure. Yeah.
So I don't want to make excuses on this one either, but the reffing in this was like
there was a Trez moving screen call right at the end of the game that was really rough.
Yeah.
They just didn't call out the screen, and Jeremy Grant got leveled. Jeremy Grant also did a really good job on Kawhi early, kind of.
Yeah.
Doc got tossed unfair, like we talked about it. It just really unraveled after those whistles. There was a call on Jamichael too on a Trez free throw.
Yep.
That he got called for. I can't remember what it was called for, but it was a foul.
Also on Grant, I believe.
Yeah, and that was just like it was just like God damn it.
Jamichael had 3 kind of fouls that like a little bit. I would say they weren't great for the momentum of us really getting back into this one.
No,
but. I will say, you know, overall, like, we never should have let this game come down to that, to the reffing. But, like, it definitely was a factor.
But the Nuggets also, so, like, the Nuggets shot 44% from 3.
Incredible.
We were slump busters again. It was incredible. Terrible. 7 Nuggets in double figures. Jokic had 20 and 15. Jamal Murray had 14. Michael Porter Jr. played well. That's all we're going to say about that. Bench got outscored. My note about Zoo.
Okay.
What I didn't like, and I think what a lot of people didn't like, was that Zoo, dude, in a game where size is a thing against this Nuggets team.
For sure.
It's a thing. You need to maybe play your bigger guys.
Especially when Zoo was also able to finish efficiently.
That's the thing. He went 3 for 3. So, like,
yeah,
it's not like he was 0 for 3 or something. There's a stat from Justin Russo at Fly By Night. Zubac checked out at the 4:39 mark in the first quarter. Clippers were up 20-17. Denver is 7 of 7 inside the paint since then and 12 of 15 overall. Denver was 1 of 6 inside the paint and 5 of 12 overall when Zubac was on the floor. He makes a difference down low. Like,
nobody, I don't think that anybody could argue that he's not making a difference.
But it's like, if no one can argue that, it's so frustrating. I'm like, Doc, can he just get a little more run in the beginning? Or like, if teams know that Zoo's just not going to play over 20 minutes, they have no reason to be fearful of going into the paint. There's no second guessing. Like, and I don't understand, you know, Paul George wasn't there, so our defense hasn't been woo-woo-woo, whatever it's supposed to be. But we're living in that right now. So, like, yeah, that's great to say and everything. But if it's going to remain like this, because we're not 100% sure if Paul George is going to play
ever
against
again?
The Cavs, he's going to be reevaluated when they get back to LA. So he might not play against the Cavs. I don't know if I want him to either.
If there's even a question to it against the Cavs game.
Sit about. It's Cavs, and then we go, I want to say Magic or something like that.
Yeah, it is.
But so there's this thing of like, if they only know that Zoo's going to, if the elite rim protector, if you look at his stats around the rim, he's literally an elite rim protector in terms of shot percentage around the rim. If he's only going to play 17 to 22 minutes, there's just no second guessing trying to establish paints that, like, it just, I don't know. As good as Trez is on the offensive end, which he's phenomenal, he's efficient. It was a spark tonight when we kind of needed it, when things weren't going very well.
It was huge.
But the defense is like,
I don't know.
Zoo was just doing a good job this game. That's what's frustrating. Is it like Zoo was doing well?
No, I definitely agree.
He just needs more minutes.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
no,
it's
no,
just
I,
like,
I agree. It's definitely puzzling at this point. Yeah, six, 9, and 1 in just under 18 minutes.
That per 36 is absurd.
Yeah.
You times it by 2. That's 12, 18.
Like. Yeah. No, that's, I can definitely see it.
And I know the fouls is a thing for sure. Like, that is an issue.
I think if he can stay away from those fouls, and I think the thing that gets scary is they'll just be in such quick succession that, like, I understand if you're Doc, it's like, no, I gotta take this guy out of here, man.
Because like the momentum's tanked for sure.
Yeah.
No, that was a big gripe.
But I do agree with you. I would like to see those minutes around the 20 mark.
Just I want to see it over 20. I'm not saying give him 30. Give him 22.
Nah.
Dude, 5 minutes more in this game, who knows what could happen. That's all I'm saying.
All right. And I would have liked to see JaMychal earlier.
The bench as a whole, I mean, you know, JaMychal had one bucket. It was a pivotal bucket. It kind of jumpstart the team.
Yeah, totally.
But Trez had 25, Mo had 6, JaMychal had 2. No one else on the bench scored.
Yeah. Goddamn. It's bound to happen. Without Lou there.
It's brutal.
Without Lou there, I mean.
Shamit was 0 for 5.
Without Lou there, those bench minutes definitely get a little bit rough.
Not getting the start, we talked about he went 0 for 5 in this game. Like, Shamit now needs to stay on the bench and get through the shooting slump. I'm down with him going 0 for 5.
Yeah.
I want him to keep shooting.
Yes.
But it's like, I don't think we should trade him, as some people online are saying. But, like, we got to let him shoot out of it. But I think you're right. Not having Lou down there makes that 0 for 5 jump out more for Shamit.
Definitely.
We obviously needed it in this game.
And, I guess in an overall, what we haven't liked on the season, it's just like maybe we talk about how there's so many guys that are capable of stepping up. Like, any one guy can kind of show up to fill in the cracks. But we haven't seen any sort of consistency.
Three guys do that
from a lot of these guys.
For sure.
Which, you know, is pretty disheartening to see just as an overall thing.
How are you feeling after this game? Or is there one more thing you didn't like?
Okay, so I do want to get this one out there.
And yeah, it does get it off your chest, man.
It does tie in.
Refresh off this loss, you know. We got to go to work tomorrow. Get it off.
It does tie in a little bit to what I said. Like, the officiating was a little bit interesting, but...
Interesting.
We did not get to the line that well.
We didn't.
26 to 37, and we shot a lower percentage.
There was that stretch in this game where it was like... There's also a stretch of this game where we didn't score for 4 minutes.
Yeah, it was...
Which kind of lends itself to your point of, like, we should have won this game. Like, it was a goofy-ass game.
It was. It was. And this is a game...
But it's been a...
This is a game that you lose on the road 8 times out of 10.
And it's been a string of goofy-ass games.
Yes.
Which is kind of making the blood pressure go up for people, I think.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. At home, seeing those sort of close games or a loss...
Yeah.
Is even worse. And, you know, on the road overall, we haven't been as solid as I thought we would have.
And that's really where the continuity messes everything up.
Totally.
Is on the road. And we played a tough place to play. You know, we're playing, you know, you're a mile high up.
But how I'm feeling, let's talk about it later.
I'm feeling like, dude, I don't know what's going to happen against the Cavs. I think we're going to destroy them.
So I guess one question I want to ask you is, like, we've seen a couple of different looks at this guard spot. With Paul George out, do you think that there is a better lineup out there? Do you think maybe just keeping Pat as the sole guard and kind of shifting things up and throwing Jamichael in there or something? Because I don't think that you should take Lou off the bench. I don't think that Lou should be in the starting lineup. And it's not that he's not capable. It's just that he has a defined role.
I don't know. It's a conundrum.
Yeah.
We have one true point guard, and it's Tarik Walton Jr.
That's not true.
In terms of true point, like, Pat does everything. I'm saying in terms of, like, that. You know what I'm saying? Like, Pat is a great point guard and needs to be the number one. But after that, I don't know who you slot next to him in terms of continuity.
I think Paul George is out. In the starting lineup, for
yeah,
sure.
Like, yeah. I don't know what you do.
Yeah, it's definitely a pickle.
We can't play Mo and Pat on the starting lineup. I don't want that.
No, but Mo and Jamichael?
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
So, yeah, you run out Pat, have Kawhi play that sort of oversized 2-3 kind of situation. Mo, Jamichael, and Zoo.
I think so.
I'd like to see some run of it.
Or if Shaman starts hitting, put Shaman there. But right now, keep him on the bench.
Ideally,
as
yeah.
the strict two. Like, Shaman is a strict
off,
two.
Off ball.
Yeah.
Off ball.
And off ball, J.J. Redick. I hate to say it, but we need to play him in that role again.
Yeah.
As the J.J. Redick role.
Yeah, he does not need to be handling the ball. But anyways, too little, too late effort. But hey, on to the next one. Coming up next for you, we have the Freshies.
So it's been half a season, basically.
Yeah.
How have the new additions been so far? And are we surprised that they're just in every trade talk right now?
No, I kind of figured Mo would be in trade talks pretty much all season long, despite some inconsistent but very solid play.
Coaches love him.
Looks good.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's just one of those guys who I think has kind of his specific role, which is that, you know, he's a guy who can guard. He's a true, like, almost 1-5 guard. Defensively.
Absolutely 1-4.
Yeah.
Borderline 1-5.
Borderline 1-5. Yeah.
1-4 and 2/3.
Well, yeah, 1-4 and a stretch.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's had his inconsistency shooting from three. I think career, he's maybe like 30% or a hair under.
Somewhere around there, yeah.
I
don't think Magruder's going to be moved.
I don't know if the...
Also, if we say someone who's going to move to, like, literally can't be moved because of some contract thing, we apologize. We don't have the full contracts in front of us.
Oh, yeah.
Patterson, I don't think, is going to be moved.
Patterson is interesting. I
think he's helping out the locker room a lot.
I think he's helping out the locker room a lot. And I just see, like, I mean, that's picking up Patterson, that's like a contender move. So we're going to be dumping one guy to another contender.
Yeah,
I just don't really see it.
Yeah, to a team that's like, damn, we could really use
it. Yeah, I just don't really see it.
Yeah, a rebuilding team isn't searching Patrick Patterson.
Yeah. And that's, you know, only quality to Patrick Patterson. And that's
unless Trae Young demands that they get Patrick Patterson.
I don't know. To me, Mo is like, and I'm not saying that he should be traded, but
he's the most movable asset right now.
He's the most movable asset in that,
of the new guys.
Of the new guys, yeah. And that, you know, like, he makes salaries work a little bit more, you know, because everybody
that in between.
Yeah, because everybody else that would be involved in talks, you know, Jerome.
He's like 11, right?
11 or 12. Yeah.
Yeah, which is like the exact fill you need with this team with how our contracts are constructed.
Yeah. And then you can throw in like a young piece or something with a smaller contract to make money work to get, you know, that mid-level kind of player. Yeah, I would. I don't know, man. I don't know that I would be that on board with any sort of movement.
People are, even before the loss to the Nuggets, people on Twitter, it was like today, like the switch just flipped.
Yeah.
Of every, like, Justin Russo was talking about it, Lucas Hahn, Joey Lynn, like all the, you know, all the Clippers Twitter people were like, I think this trade, it felt like today, like a switch flipped kind of.
Totally.
With like trade talk. I don't know. So I'm on the fence right now because I was really firmly believing that the trade wasn't going to happen.
Yeah.
Now I'm on the fence because the reason I didn't think a trade was going to happen was because we've had continuity issues. So they don't really know what the team has.
And that's my, that would be my biggest argument against like, against, yeah, a proponent of a trade is that like, I'm not fully sure that we've even seen it yet.
We haven't seen it yet.
What this team is.
But then I'm also, maybe, and this is a big maybe, this is me pontificating, this is not based on whispers I heard, which I'm listening for. Maybe there could be some internal pressure of like, things maybe don't look as good as we want them to right now. I'm not saying I feel that way. But in terms of like, the effort play and the getting guys to commit to more than like 10 minutes of championship level play every night, which what it feels like we're kind of getting right now. And this last stretch since Christmas is like, we're getting, you know, 10 to 15 minutes of, oh,
15
damn.
Feels generous, but
yeah, of that, like, oh damn, this is what it can be.
Yeah.
We're getting a quarter of that throughout a whole game.
Yeah.
And so I'm a little curious if that is gonna maybe fuel trying to acquire someone who, you know, talking to their agent or something, expresses.
You're talking to their agent?
Yeah. Oh, I'm mediating a lot of these. So to be a mediator, you actually don't need any credentials. No, but you know what I'm saying? Like maybe the team's talking to their agent. They're just like, no, this guy wants to do this, this, and this, and understands what some of your maybe effort issues or something are. And I'm not blaming anyone for the effort issues. A lot of people are blaming Doc online. I'm not sure I'm totally there yet. I can see some of the frustrations.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'm a little more towards that I could see one happening than I was before.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I think it's right, because I'm also a little confused in that part. Are you there, God? It's me, Chuck.
With this loss, we dropped to fifth, but we're technically tied for fourth. We're, the Rockets and the Clippers are both 5.5 games out of first. I still see some fluctuation in this. The Jazz are looking scary. They've won their last 9 straight. But I would say I'm just not that, I'm not that underwhelmed yet with the on-court product or the record. You know, like some.
So the record I'm not underwhelmed with. We're still on like a 56 win pace or something like that, which is more than I actually gave them. I gave them like 53.
Yeah.
I'm not underwhelmed with the record, but just the tendencies and some of the stuff where it's like, you know, it's night and day when it comes to some of the intangibles that we saw flourish last year in terms of the fight. And
hey, we don't talk about last year.
You know, okay, that's, you know what I'm saying. But like in terms of like, you know, those things you can't quantify and that kind of stuff, this season so far has been kind of a letdown in some of those things.
Yikes. Charles Mockley, the Clippers are a letdown. All right, well, we're about out of time for today. Any other thoughts?
No thoughts yet. I think we should stand pat. I don't think we're a letdown.
You heard it here.
I'm excited to preview this game against the Cavs for tomorrow's episode because I want to get an assertive dub.
Yep, and a win tomorrow night would put us on pace for 56 wins, as we touched on earlier. We'll be taking your questions for Twitter Tuesdays.
Oh, yeah, dude.
And we'll update you on anything else that happens between now and then in Clipperland. As always, I'm William the Opinion Updike.
I'm Positive Chuck Mockler. You can find us at Will Updike, at Charles Mockler, at Locked On Clips. Check us out on iTunes.
Please leave a rating, subscribe. We need it.
Check us out on Deezer. Yeah, thanks for listening.
Yeah, appreciate you.